Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity and all the...
Mary had a little lamb in streets as white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And welcome back, folks. It's another day of Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkgrid.com. It is February the 9th, 2012. And I haven't done this in a lot of years, so I think that it's only right that I do it. February 9th is a birthday that's not extremely significant to me, but it's only right that I say happy birthday to this person. This is my ex-wife, and I'm not going to say her name. I just figured it was only right that I say happy birthday to her. It's her 42nd birthday, right? Yeah, I think it's her 42nd birthday, but I figured it was only right to say happy birthday to her. Party at Red Lobster, or, you know, Olive Garden, maybe Applebee's, whatever. But I gotta say happy birthday to her.
That was special. That was awfully special.
Oh, it's only right. I haven't done it in years. I can honestly say I haven't said happy birthday to her in maybe 20 years. So I figured it's only right. And she's not a bad gal. We had our differences, and we divorced. It wasn't amicable, but, whatever. I figured I'd do something nice. It's my good deed.
As long as we didn't end up in court with criminal charges and forced to go to Red Lobster?
Yeah, it was better than that. Right, exactly.
Oh, okay.
So it's only right that I say happy birthday to her. A lot of news today. Everybody's all over the place today in the news. From everything from Greg Kelly to Greg Kelly's accuser to Obama and this whole church mandate is getting a lot of ground, and we'll probably talk about that later. We've got some fun stuff, of course, we need to talk about, and that is the a story that I saw today on Yahoo News, which I've made this argument a long time. I don't know. NYU did the study. New York University did the study. They didn't need to spend any money doing the study. I could have done this one on my own, and it has to do with your child's name and the workforce. So we'll get into that as well. Another story that's happening out in Michigan, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure where I fall on this one. Usually I have strong opinions.
Check your levels.
Okay, my apologies. I thought I was good. Okay. Are we good now?
Affirmative.
Okay. And I don't know where I stand on this particular story because of the nature of the case. We'll talk about that as well coming up. Have you ever heard of the term race betrayal? That's something. It's a report that actually came out last October, but it's a term that's actually gaining some ground. It's called race betrayal, and it really is targeted towards minorities who have different views from the mainstream of that minority group. So I want to talk about that in the report that came out, and we'll get into that, of course, as well. And don't forget, it is Therapy Thursday, and Therapy Thursday goes right into, I never thought that this would happen to me, that Therapy Thursday would be tied in to an actual current events story. But today it happened to me with an ex. And, it baffles me that it happened, but it baffles me how easy it is for people to do this sort of thing. And I'm teasing it because I want to get into it later. We'll get into it around the 9 o'clock hour. To start off the show, of course, we've talked about this extensively. I think we've covered this more than most people have on radio, and especially here on Blog Talk Radio, is the Greg Kelly case. He is the Fox 5 anchor on Good Day New York, the son of the police commissioner, Ray Kelly. And the allegations of rape that were levied against him back in January, and how he took a leave of absence somewhere around January 26th, and he's been off the air. He will be returning to his show tomorrow, and a report just came in the New York Post that Greg Kelly will address the case briefly. What he will say is still not been determined, but, I will be right on the job getting that audio for you, and we will play it here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. I think exactly 12 hours after he makes the statement, we will have that audio and talk about what it is that he says, and we'll see whether or not any of our predictions that we made yesterday will actually come to fruition, how they will deal with the allegations that were levied against him that turned out to be false and no charges were filed in that rape charge. Speaking of which, an article by a woman named Andrea Pizer, who also writes for the New York Post. The headline in the New York Post reads, by Andrea Pizer, "Let's put the girl who cried wolf on trial instead." And they go on to give the woman's name. And I said, I'm not giving her name here. Not for any legal reasons. She's not going to get any press. I can't even acknowledge her. And as I said yesterday, she's nothing more than pond scum. What was the term I used yesterday? I called her, what did I call her? Pathetic runt. What I used for her yesterday. But Andrea Pizer is saying in the New York Post, in the interest of justice, as well as protecting the safety and sanctity of all women, I'm begging the New York District Attorney, Cy Vance, to prosecute the woman to the fullest extent of the law. And she's also claiming, she said, the girl who cried rape was almost believed. She twice told prosecutors a consistent and credible story that were it not for the exertions of the DA's office might have cost a good man his liberty and sent his career into ruins. And you know the whole story. Last month, she accused him of rape inside of her office building, inside of her boss's office, which, again, begs the question, why would the two of them be inside the boss's office? I'm baffled by that. JC, do you want to say something?
No, you're bubbling.
Okay, I should take that as a warning when I see that you come on. Andrea Pizer is pretty much saying that, we don't know the reasoning behind this woman's claims. And they seem pretty obvious. Live-in lover ends up at her office building. You know, the 12 different texts or sex texts that were made to or between Greg Kelly and the woman. The breakdown that they're saying is that with all of this going on, why would anybody think that she wasn't lying if the proof turns out to be something different than what it is that she's claiming? I have to read the last couple of paragraphs here of the story because I think that's the most paramount here. The established facts do not constitute a crime under New York criminal law, wrote the DA's office. A source put it this way. The lustfulness between Kelly and the woman was mutual. Well, the DA's office doesn't want to deal with it anymore because however improbably prosecutors believe the woman is telling the truth when she says that she can't remember having sex with Kelly. She knows they did it. The two is you prove a rape, forcible compulsion, of which
Kelly was guilty. I think we're about to lose you.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. All right, I think I know I can handle this, and I apologize, folks. Give me 2 seconds. How's that? Is that better?
A lot better.
All right, no problem. I think I've finally worked this out.
We're back to it.
All right, I'm changing my cord here. How about, oh no, any better now?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to work this thing out. How's that? That should be better, right?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Okay, good. Anyway, back to the point. It says that there are two ways that you can. Nothing? We're back at it again?
Oh. Yeah.
I'm really, really apologizing, folks, for the audio problems here. I'm doing
radio without a net.
Yeah, radio without a net. That's exactly what it is. How about now? We're a little better?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, it says, well, the DA's office doesn't want to deal with it anymore because, however improbably, prosecutors believe that the woman is telling the truth when she says that she can't remember having sex with Kelly. She just knows that they did it. There are two ways that one can prove forcible rape and that is forcible compulsion, which Kelly was never accused, the physical helplessness, well, the pair drank little, being a lightweight is no proof of sexual assault. Not being able to remember is not tantamount to rape, said one of the sources. Prosecutors, who must process mind-reading powers to glean what's going on in the woman's head, have declined to charge her with filing a false criminal report because they think she believes she's telling the truth. It's not good enough. It's time to protect true victims of sexual assault by ripping off the veil that only encourages gals to make untrue claims. Who will believe a real victim now? The woman, at best, is a confused soul who irrevocably harmed a man's reputation by thinking only of herself. At worst, she lied when she didn't get her way. If she really believes that she was attacked, then the woman has nothing to be ashamed of. If she made up the story, then protecting her only serves to tell women that this kind of demented behavior is okay. The DA must take a stand against false claims leveled against men, the same way he would uphold the right of any other minority to not be harassed and succumb because of physical appearance. It said that the accuser must face the music. Now, it's just an article in the New York Post whether or not the district attorney's office will decide that will take sort of action remains to be seen. We, of course, here at Reese on the Radio, do not believe that. But it is a very valid point. We have to get rid of this veil of suggesting that we won't prosecute her because of what it may do to people who are victims of rape. But again, we are setting precedent. that tells women when they do want to get revenge or need some way to protect themselves from other scrutiny, and that's outside of the relationship, that they can scream rape at any given moment. This cannot be something used as some, I don't know, some form of protection for their own behavior. I think you guys are going to say. But as I said, Greg Kelly will go on the air tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. We will get the audio and we will, you know, play for you here. Not that, you know, I feel in the claims. It's just not going to happen. I'm not going to feel bad for her. What she did was to protect her from her boyfriend, which is exactly what it looks like. To me, it looks like there's more on her part to destroy a man's life to save herself. And I don't know what was the worst that could happen. She could lose some security that she had with her boyfriend. Is she loosey-goosey? Is she one of those people who, you know, she fools around because, you know, her boyfriend isn't fulfilling her needs, be it sexual, or physical, or, you know, social, whatever it is, romantic, whatever it may be. But, you know, her behavior at this point is very questionable. But that's where we are today. And, you know, we'll find out, you know, when we get there. I know that Mary has some very strong opinions about this. And we'll bring her in. Mary, when I talk about this, you know, you and I believe flat out.
You're breaking up, Richard.
But what's the punishment?
You're breaking up really bad. You're just going in and out, in and out. Say, Reese, fix your mic.
What punishment do you think that she deserves?
She should have to do time in jail.
How much?
I don't know. I don't know if she necessarily should have to do, like, 25 years in jail, but she should definitely have to do a significant amount of time in jail. And pay restitution for any, you know, any loss of wages or costs incurred by Mr. Kelly, her, you know, the person that she accused, and anybody else that incurred any charges, you know, in the midst of all of this. She should definitely have to do time. You're going to have to be, you know, used as an example. Because it has to be done. It's ridiculous. You can't just say, oh, okay, well, we found out that she was lying, and so now, okay, we're just going to close the book and nothing happens. And Mr. Kelly, you can go back to your life, and that's it. And she can go on with her life. No, it doesn't work that way.
Well, it shouldn't work that way. I agree with you.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. It obviously does work that way, but it should not work that way.
Well, I agree with you there. I mean, but I don't think that the prosecutor wants to go that route for obvious reasons. And
what are those obvious reasons? What are those reasons? I mean, I don't understand why you wouldn't want to go that route.
Because remember what it is that the prosecutor said in their statement. They don't believe she lied. They just don't believe that a rape occurred, which is contradiction.
Well, that doesn't even make any sense. That's an oxymoron.
Hey, you'll get no argument out of me. You'll get no argument out of me. They know it's a contradiction. You know, she didn't lie. She was consistent. She consistently said the same
story. She was consistently lying. I mean,
right,
that's
yeah.
The only thing she's consistent with.
Right. She was consistently lying. No argument there either.
And the district attorney's office.
I'm sorry, before you jump in, JC, being that his father is the commissioner, you know, for him, I would be questioning my people. Like, hello, what do you mean that you don't believe that she, you know, that this didn't happen? there's evidence that it did not happen. The proof is in the pudding. So why wouldn't you be pursuing her? I mean, he has the power to do that, so he should. It's so stupid. I don't get it. It's almost like I'm so disgusted that I almost sometimes don't even want to talk about it because it makes my blood boil. It really does. It just, our justice system is so, or that justice system in New York City is just so.
Let me ask you this, Mary, and if I'm asking you a sensitive question, please stop me, okay? As a person who has openly admitted that you went through this, you know, that you were assaulted in this way, whatever it was that happened, and I know you never gave the details, but as a woman who has dealt with this, it's clear how you feel about this. You've been very vocal about it. What I want to ask you is what does a woman like this, how does she personally make you feel having gone through what you were?
I'm disgusted.
But
I'm absolutely disgusted. I'm sorry?
But in what way? I mean, elaborate by, like, what?
Because this is, okay, listen, this is a serious, this is not a joke. Like, there's nothing about being raped or being sexually assaulted, any kind of assaulted, but in this matter, we're talking about being sexually assaulted. There is nothing funny about that. There is nothing that you should ever joke about that. It's not something, you know, it's not like stealing a piece of candy.
Well,
this is something serious, and this is something that affects people for the rest of their lives. Like, I mean, for me personally, having been through a type of sexual assault, it was a very, very long time ago. I was just getting into my teenage years.
Okay, wow.
It happened, you know, it happened by a young man that was, you know, probably about 4 to 5 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
Probably even 6 years older than me, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did not press charges against him. We never went to court. We never did any of that. I dealt with it on my own, but that was my choice. And at a young age, I made that choice. And unfortunately,
okay.
I was probably a lot more mature than I should have been at that age. But at any rate, you know, and actually, you know what? I wasn't even in my teenage years. I was probably about 11 years old.
Oh, wow.
When it happened.
Okay.
And I mean, I can remember it like it was yesterday. I know exactly where it happened, what happened, where, you know, I remember everything. But, and I dealt with it in my own way, and I'm okay with it. I mean, I'm, you know, of course, that it's always still there in, you know, in me somewhere, but.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't, you know, I haven't allowed it to dictate the rest of my life.
I understand.
So, you know, because then he wins, you know what I mean? But for someone to take something like this so, I want to say lightly, I mean, what the hell was she thinking?
Well,
you don't just run around accusing people of raping you, and then it comes out that you really weren't raped, that this was consensual, and that you're just a big fat liar because of your own selfish reasons, whatever those selfish reasons were, it's apparent of what those reasons were. She didn't want to lose her man. Well, you shouldn't have cheated on your man.
Mm.
I'm disgusted because for the people that it does happen to, for those of us that it has happened to, it makes women look bad. It makes women look like they're just, you know, running around loosely using this term like it's no big freaking deal. And it is a big deal. It is a huge deal to accuse someone. It's a huge deal to be assaulted like that, and it's an even huger deal to accuse someone when they haven't done anything.
Mm. Okay. I mean, trust me, I hear you loud and clear. I mean, having gone through this, I understand.
You're breaking up, Reese.
This house would actually have to the end. This is Carl show. Go ahead.
You're breaking up real bad.
Okay, am I back now?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. All right, well, for some odd reason, I'm fading in and out. Go ahead, JC.
If I could jump in here for one moment, if I can, let's say, Oprah. If I can Oprah Mary for one moment, you know, Oprah always seemed to have a better story. Me, myself, being a victim, it happened when I was 8 years old. And for this chick to be a grown-ass woman, excuse my French, to be a grown woman to make this claim, it's not as though it's a lie amongst friends.
Right.
She took it all the way to the point where she brought it to the legal authorities.
Mm.
And when she sat there and told that flat-out lie to cover up her infidelities, she didn't give an ounce of regard for what this man could potentially go through had those charges stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was too busy being selfish.
Right, she was selfish.
And people like that don't even belong in society. When you can be that vicious and just outright vindictive.
No, that's bottom line. That's cool.
It wasn't even being vindictive. It was just straight vicious. It was straight just disgusting. For you to be able to do that to another human being, you probably should be locked up somewhere where you can't have contact with other human beings.
Wow.
Because you're not a functioning person in society. When your brain tells you that it's okay to do something like this, obviously there's something wrong with you.
Well, everything she says from now on is going to be under scrutiny because her credibility is shot for life.
And you know
what's sad? Is that this incident went down in New York City, and it didn't make a lot of national news.
Okay.
But she could move to Kansas City, Missouri, and to a new law firm and a whole new life, and nobody will know who she is.
Well,
that's
I don't think that's
part. You know what, JC? She will always know who she is.
But the thing is, Mary, she doesn't care.
I look at the whole thing about her background, about this whole thing, about her being an aspiring model, and I look at that part of the story and go, there's a bit of narcissism with this young lady, and it's why I use the word narcissist. She is clearly somebody who is probably vain, very self-absorbed. And as you pointed out, Mary, this whole thing about not wanting to be caught by her boyfriend or her man, as you put it, protecting herself, wanting to protect herself was paramount to anybody or anything else that may have transpired in her making this report. She didn't care about anybody else. And I guess there's a part of that, what you said about selfishness. I guess I'm sort of alluding to that same ideal. That the selfishness was the only thing she was thinking about was self-preservation. And, you know, her self-preservation caused her to not care about the repercussions behind making this false claim. I mean, I think that's fair to say. Now, you said, I don't think she ever took this as a joke. I think in her own narcissistic way, she didn't care about how this would affect Greg Kelly. She only cared about how this was going to affect her. She was very focused and had tunnel vision about how do I protect myself? My boyfriend knows that someone else had sex with me. I need to protect myself, and I'm going to say whatever it is that I can to protect my own reputation at the risk of putting another man in prison. And I don't, it's disgusting. I agree with you. It's disgusting. And when you hear Therapy Thursday today, I promise you, you're going to be shocked. This is very, very easily done. It's very easily done. And when we get to Therapy Thursday, we will talk about it. Because when this exchange happened with me and a phone call that I had today, phone conversation I had today, even I was stunned that somebody would go this far. Because they are trying to protect their reputation, even when they're given an out. Even when they're given an out, they will go to the lengths of, let me put it to you this way, of even suggesting that a rape occurred or a sexual assault occurred. When we come back, we'll talk about some other stuff. It's Reset on the Radio.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back right here live on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. And thank you all for checking out ReeseOnTheRadio.com. When you do, I'm loving seeing the hits. It makes me feel accomplished. So I'm really, really appreciative of you folks doing that. Again, send an email to ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. You can catch me on Twitter at Reese on Radio. Oh, hey, by the way, there's a YouTube page as well. Just look for Reese on the Radio on YouTube. And you can find a lot of stuff there. I got a couple of videos that I posted there as well. So, again, it is February the 9th, 2012. I said happy birthday to my ex-wife, the mother of my son, Caleb. And it's her birthday today. It's 42nd birthday, and I haven't said happy birthday to her in a long time. And, you know, and I don't want to be subjected to, you know, having to send her to Red Lobster, buy some flowers, and she was never, ever a bowling fan. So I just say happy birthday. So, and she's out there, and, you know, she's enjoying. I know she's probably at an Olive Garden. I'm telling you, I know she's there. Or at an Applebee's. Maybe a Chili's. She's at a chain restaurant, there's no doubt. Speaking of, you know, my ex-wife and my son, Caleb, one of the reasons why I named him Caleb was because, you know, I had to listen to my ex-wife. That was not the name I was going to give him. The name I wanted to give my son was Jonathan. And for no reason. It wasn't like I have a grandfather or an uncle or a cousin or a godfather. I had none of that stuff. I love the name Jonathan. It's a great name for a boy. I like Joshua, too. Don't get me wrong. But Jonathan, for me, it's a strong name. It's a name that I know growing up that he could really appreciate. And I know some people would probably call him John or Johnny or all that other stuff. But Jonathan, I thought when he got into the corporate world, when he got into the business world, that he can use that name. And you know, everybody by the way is Hockey. So I thought Jonathan was a great name. Audio problems again. Thanks, Jay. My name being Edward is a very Welsh name, Edward. It means guardian of prosperity. It's a, you know, I'll admit, there's some, and I want to say there's a little bit of regal attached to the name. I didn't like the name when I was a kid because, of course, everyone called me Eddie. And I hated that name. Everyone who called me Eddie, anytime I remember people calling me Eddie, I was always offended by that. As I got older and I got more mature, I look at the name Edward and I grew to appreciate it. Reese, on the other hand, you know, I probably won't be able to use that name for many years. You know, Reese is a very young name. You can be called, you know, Mr. Reese by a lot of young kids, which a lot of young men do. They always refer to me as Mr. Reese. But Reese is okay. But my middle name, which I'm never giving on these airwaves, I'm never telling anybody what my middle name is. But let's just say that it's an offshoot of Reese. So you can figure it out on your own. And the reason why I wanted to give him the name Justin, because I was thought it was important that when he got older and he became sort of a business-minded young man, when he had a job or a career, that he would be socially accepted within the workforce. And I've always known that because I've seen these people name their kids certain names, and these names were awful. Now, I have a younger sister who has a Swahili name, or so it's told. I never bothered to look up whether or not the name was Swahili. Kind of like this. So my youngest sister, my baby sister, is 10 years younger than me. Yeah, 10 years younger than me. And when she was born, and they gave her name. Her name is Zakiya. And I'll never forget when my mom told me that she had decided that my sister's name was going to be Zakiya. And at 10 years old, I hated that name. I said, Zakiya? What the? What? Mom, why'd you pick that name? And my mother responded by saying that my aunt chose that name because, you know, this is my stepfather's sister had chose that name because she said it was a Swahili name, it was an African name, and that was a powerful name. All right, whatever. I rolled my eyes. But then I thought about what my aunt's name was, because you would think that my aunt to give my sister such an exotic name, as many people may use, why she would come up with that. But my aunt's name is Pat. It's not like she had some exotic name. How's my aunt Pat going to give my sister this Swahili name? This ridiculous name. The reason why I had a problem with it was because I said there's no way my sister is going to get a decent job in her life. There's no way that she's going to get a job that people are going to show her some monicum of respect, some iota of respect with that name. Zakiya. And then I read today in an NYU study based on your child, they will not have a chance of advancing, getting promotions because of their names. That people will overlook the person who has an odd name for promotions. If your child's name is Michael or Jonathan or Stephen, if your daughter's name is Anne, or Mary, even. I mean, you can go so far as Alicia or Alice. You can say those things. But when people who have to give you promotion see a name and you're being promoted, nobody wants to promote Awkwafina. And yes, folks, there's a girl out there with that name. I promise you. She's in Connecticut. That you give your child these odd names, that they are going to be overlooked. Now, I've really heard some odd names. Listen, if you name your kid Daquan, no promotion. if you name your kid Dashiki, it's not going to happen for your kid. You can forget about it. Nobody's taking that kid seriously. No one is. There's no chances for advancement with these wild and exotic Quanasia. What is that? I mean, you remember the Shaniqua era, don't you? It's never going to happen for that child. You were setting the kid up for failure. Shaniqua's only words that I'm ever going to hear out of that child's mouth when they get older is whether or not I want fries with that. Or if I'd like to supersize. Daquan, the only thing he's going to be able to do for me when he grows up is take out my garbage and put it in the truck. Sorry, Daquan, it's just not happening for you. Daquan is not a captain of industry. He's not. It's never going to happen. So this NYU study, I mean, come on, I've been talking about this for eons. JC knows. Come on, JC. Have I not talked about this often? And have I
for
not?
Years.
This whole
4 years.
4 years. I've beaten this story over the head. Why do people? You got to tell me, please. What's the oddest name that you got? Now, I know your son's name. And your son's name, I will be honest. It's going in that direction.
Yeah, it does.
It goes in that direction, but it's not that bad.
No, because it flows with his middle name.
What's his middle name?
Tyshawn.
Damn it, you had to go there. But sorry, I'm just saying. Now, I know your son, and I'll admit, his personality in and of itself, he is going to be a captain of industry. He's going to advance, but... You got it, Mick. Come on. What's the weirdest name you've ever heard?
I have a niece named Shatanica.
Please stop. Say that name again.
Shatanica?
Yeah. There's just no way.
And if I could?
Yes.
She has a brother. She has brothers that are a set of twins.
What are they?
I told you them before.
Tell me they.
What's that?
What are their names, JC?
I'm gonna need a drum roll for this one.
Just tell me.
My nephew's name is Today and Tomorrow.
No freaking way.
Yeah.
No.
But why would your sister or brother do that?
And the oldest one, my oldest nephew, the oldest brother, his name is Tamale.
Is what?
Tamale? Yeah, T-I-M-A-L-E, spelled Tamale.
Yeah. Well, Tamale is spelled T-A-M-A-L-E, but okay. Yeah.
Okay. Tamale. You got any bad names for your children? As a white woman, there's no way that you can pick one.
I mean, if I would have had a daughter, I probably would have named her Latasia.
Oh Lord. Something told me she got a Shawaka Tima floating around her family somewhere.
Now, see, Mary, right now, I swear to you, I just spit up my drink when you just said that. I just spit up all
okay,
over my
Okay, so
drink.
When I was about, wait a minute, okay, so let me clarify that. So when I was about 16 or 17, when, you know, girls my age in my era were having babies, I was like, oh, I'm going to name my, if I have a daughter, I'm going to name her Latasia. Yeah, it would have been something crazy. If I had a child today, no, it would not be that. I've outgrown that. I've definitely outgrown that. I would probably name her after my middle name.
or, you know, somebody in my family or something like that. I would not support, you know, the father's family.
The most radical I've ever gone, I'll admit this, the most radical
I've ever You're breaking up, Reese.
An ex-girlfriend of mine, when we were together and we talked about kids, I wanted to name our daughter, if we had, I wanted to name her Sullivan.
Sullivan.
Now, explain why. That we met on in Manhattan. And I thought that, and the only reason I associated that was you guys.
That microphone is deadly tonight, dude.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry, guys. You don't remember the movie Splash with Tom Hanks and Daryl Hannah?
Yep.
Okay. And you know when she decided her name would be Madison?
Uh-huh.
Down the street, and she saw the name Madison on the street, and she called herself Madison. So a lot of people have named their daughters Madison based upon that movie. Sullivan, that sort of reference, that was the street that we met on, and I wanted to name my daughter Sullivan. If I had
okay. Now, let me tell you this. If Jaquan was a girl, his name was going to be... Are you ready?
Go for it.
Talana Quinesha.
Oh, thank God I put my drink down.
What did you say?
My son, had he been a girl, his name would have been Talana Quinesha.
Quinesha?
Quinesha.
Quinesha.
Yeah.
Oh.
And how would you have spelled that? Q-U-I-N-E-I-S-H-A?
Nope. It would have been Q, a Q with a U with that little joie over it. It's got to be there because it looks good on paper. Y, N, no
oh.
E, just S-H-A.
Oh.
That is so country. Quanisha.
Country?
Quanisha, come over here, Quanisha. What you doing? That is so country.
Oh. I'm sorry. Like, this is just sad that there are people who do this. Just, please, I hope that this study gets around.
I named all of my cousins' kids. I named them all.
Did you do
what
today and tomorrow?
Yeah,
no, I didn't name
today
and tomorrow. No.
I was just going to say.
Deshaun Lamar. Tristan DeAndre.
Oh,
what's wrong with Tristan DeAndre? It's a model's name.
Everything is wrong with
it's
that.
It's a model's name. Tristan is a good name, I think.
Tristan
is a cool name.
Is that what you said, Tristan?
Yeah.
Okay, so they would have been called Trey because no one would have ever called them Tristan.
Absolutely.
And I have a brother named Dorian.
You have a brother named what?
Dorian.
That's not a bad name.
Glorian?
No, Dorian with a D. That's not
with
a bad name.
Oh,
Dorian. No, that's not a bad name.
No, that's not a bad name.
My mom named him after Dorian Gray.
Oh, okay, no, that's not a bad name. It's not a bad name.
And there's a Keith.
Oh, thank
then
God.
There's a Terrence.
Terrence isn't bad.
Then there's a Gary.
Gary's not bad.
Then there's a Daryl.
Daryl's pretty Negro.
Then there's a Junior.
Wow. You worked hard to get that one.
Then there's a Vicky.
And these are
Miriam.
Well, wait a minute. Why did you go so far off the beaten path with the other kids?
And my mom named me.
Yeah, but,
and I hate my name.
Well, why do you hate your name?
I wanted to be a Roger.
Oh, wow. I'm
a Oh, that's horrible. Why would you have wanted to be a Roger? Roger, come here, Roger.
I didn't like the name Jamie growing up.
Roger?
I got
at least with Jamie, you got a nickname. They can call you Jay. They, you know, we call you JC.
You don't
want to
know what my nicknames were.
I had nicknames like that too, Jamie.
Hey, so I had a nickname once, Moose. And you know what all my friends call me now? And it's the oddest name in the world. It's a name that you would never ever think that fits me, but it has.
What is it?
Skip.
Skip?
Mary, Mary, why you bugging? Got her old nickname.
Why did you play that, Reese?
No, but I said because Mary's got her own nickname.
Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, but you know what? Mary, a lot of people in New York, people out here don't do it, NBA, but a lot of people in New York call me Mayor. They don't call me Mary. They call it, you know, M-A-R-E. That's the best nickname you can get out of Mary, I guess. They used to call me Big M from the group home.
What did they call you?
Big M from the group home.
I like that.
Big M from the group home.
I like that.
You like that, Big M from the group home?
I love that. I think it's a great thing. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, well, because I've been, you know, I was in a group home as a kid, so, as
Join
a teenager,
the club.
So, yeah, not
Join the
fun.
Club.
That damn Hegeman group home scarred me for life.
Yeah, I don't know why it is that people would choose to do. I think it's almost criminal. I mean, if you give your kid a horrible name like that, I think it's cruel.
I went to school with girls that were named like Princess, Queen, and it was like, what are you talking? Why would you?
But
you were
kind of born at or about the time that Roots and Roots 2 came out.
I think that had a lot to do with why those names were so popular in a lot of urban neighborhoods, because people were, you know, this whole, the Asiatic movement, you know, like, you know, the 5% are in Muslims and Islam. A lot of African Americans were very, very much in touch with those names, and that's how they got, you know, that's how they got them. I saw that so often during that time.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, Quanasia was a real popular one, and I never thought that that name would fly. And then you hear somebody's name, you know, Quanisha. I mean, they had no cultural background whatsoever, and they would use these names. I always thought it was just sick what they would do to these kids. I always thought it was crazy. But they do it.
I have a very plain, ordinary, just called Kate. I'm very Irish, Mary Angela. Well,
you know,
I mean, it's fine because I'm Irish, but.
Yeah, but you know what? At least you weren't like a Mary Ann or a Mary Catherine, you know, like that. That's Mary Catherine.
I would have been so upset. So upset. Mary is my grandmother's name, which is almost everybody I know, you know. Everybody's got a grandmother or somebody, and they or an Aunt Mary or something. You know, Angela, I don't know. I think that was my great-grandmother's name. I don't know where my mother came up with that from.
Right.
I'm glad that I was born after my sister.
I look at my mother's generation and my grandmother who named her four children, and when you got names like Marjorie, Dennis, Roger, and Anne, I look at those names and I go, there's no way I would never, ever name my kids something odd. And my mother was almost succinct with that when she named at least the first three kids by naming me Edward, naming my sister Christina, my brother Charles. But then when she got to the last two and she got involved with that whole quote unquote, you know, new vibe, you know, to name one brother after his father, which is an odd name, but then naming my sister Zakiya. Just for me, it was just like, talk about going off the beaten path. It was just, for me, it was just horrible.
I like the name Zakiya.
Are you serious?
I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, it's something that she, I'm not saying that, you know, this study or whatever is like,
I'm not saying I would name my kids Zakiya, but, I mean, I like that name. It's unique. You could call them, you know, Kaya instead of Zakiya. And
well, I refer to my sister
I like
as,
it.
I refer to my sister as Kaya, but you know what nicknames ended up coming out of that name? People call her Zeke.
Zeke. Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I know a Zeke.
Yeah, and there's
I know
probably
a
dude.
Yeah, but
yeah, Zeke was a midget. I'll tell you about it behind the scenes.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, let's go to the top of the hour.
Who's a black belt midget at that?
Oh my God.
We'll be back at the top of the hour.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Hey, I'm a little man. It's white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help send against you.
Top of the hour, it's Reese on the radio on blogtalkradio.com. 2 minutes after the hour. On the East Coast, it is 8:02 p.m. The number is 347-308-8701. And, of course, you can reach us at resellerradio@yahoo.com and log on to resellerradio.com whenever you like. Okay, I will be the first to admit that when I hear stories like this and I don't know how to react, that means that there's a problem. Whenever I hear a story, and I go, usually when I hear a story, I'm one of those guys, and I don't do snap judgments. I'm not a knee-jerk reaction kind of guy. My practical sense immediately kicks in when I listen to a story or I read a story, whatever it is, and I react to it based upon what I call logic. And a lot of people don't. A lot of people just have what it is that their beliefs are. And they immediately respond in that way because this is what I believe. And when I hear a story or if I hear something about news, and I automatically have those snap judgments, and that's it. I don't knee jerk anything. I don't. It's never been my style. This one really compelled me, and I want to go to you guys, JC and Mary, when I tell you this story. And I'm setting it up different than the newspaper did for a reason. It's because I want. And a reaction. I want a very natural reaction. It turns out that a young man who was, and Mary will probably be able to respond to this better. Maybe even JC will, after the story he told in the first hour. You know, when we were talking about the Greg Kelly case. And he talked about his own dealings with this. This particular topic. I hear you, Bob.
Very bad.
I got
very
you.
Bad this
how
time.
How about now? Any better?
Yeah.
Any better now? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm trying to make sure I keep my connection here, and I'm sorry, folks, again. A gentleman by the name of Matthew Bragg. According to the story, and I want to make sure that I get his age right here in this story. Samuel Bragg, again, is his name. And he is being charged with sexually assaulting a 9-year-old girl when he was 15 years old. Okay, yeah, I want to make sure I had his age right. Okay, so in 2009, he was 17. And he's being charged with assaulting a 9-year-old girl when he was 15 years old. Okay, so it happened in 2007. 2007, he assaults a 9-year-old girl. Of course, the family finds out about it, and he's being charged with the crime. So he's charged with the crime, and there's no, from what I hear in the story, there's no physical evidence of the crime. But there is a witness that can prove that he did it. And that witness is his pastor. It turns out that Samuel Bragg, according to this story, was so overcome with this guilt when he was 17 years old, went to his mother and asked to speak to their pastor, to have a session with the pastor. Then with the pastor in 2009, 2 years later, the child is now 11, and he goes to the pastor and he confesses to the pastor. You know, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned, whatever it might be. And the pastor now hears the crime that he has committed against a 9-year-old girl. And now, in Michigan, a Supreme Court panel of three will decide whether or not the pastor's testimony should be admitted, negating privilege. Pastor, parishioner, privilege. Now, there is law that says that no one under the law, yeah, that's correct. The judge is trying to decide on whether or not the pastor will be able to testify. But the pastor is the witness, in essence, because the confession came from the young boy who was 17 at the time and goes to the pastor and says, you know, forgive me, pastor, for I have sinned and I did this crime. And now, under the law, that anyone who is a pastor or a priest, if someone confesses to you, that information is privileged. This is law. That this is privileged information. That he can go to his pastor and say to him that he committed this crime. But he being 15 at the time and the victim in this case being 9, I have a hard time with dealing with whether or not this should be argued. Now, that's the only reason why I'm saying that is this, is that if school officials think that someone may have been sexually harmed, they're supposed to contact police. I mean, shouldn't there be some parameters where if a pastor finds out that somebody committed a heinous crime, I mean, what if it were murder? I mean, shouldn't there be some sort of provision or scale where they go, okay, you can confess plenty of things, you know, you stole $1 million, okay, that's privilege. You know, you cheated your grandmother out of her, you know, or her mortgage, you know. But in cases of murder and abusing a child, I don't know. I'm having a hard time with saying, because normally I would protect the law, in this case, I would just say the law is the law. You know, he confessed to his pastor. He's protected. But not, I don't know about this case. If he confessed and this is a 9-year-old who's now 11, I'm torn because of this, because I'm going law versus, you know, what's our nature to do what's right, what's in us. Do you understand what I'm saying? I guess I'm conflicted in this case. So, I mean, I want to go to you guys, because help me explain why it is that I'm conflicted so I can understand what's going on. Do you guys have any opinions about this?
Mary, you want to go first?
Go ahead, Jason.
Okay. I, too, am likewise conflicted. I do firmly believe that the conversations held in confession between pastors and clergy and their flock should be just that. I don't think that the state has a right to compel him to testify.
Mm-hmm.
Then you begin to open up a huge can of worms for religion as a whole. And
right.
that's one of the reasons why this country was founded.
Right.
Is for our religious beliefs. Freedom of religion and of course taxes, but on the same token, he felt guilty enough where he found both the ones.
You're breaking up.
Yeah, you're breaking up. Mary, stand by 1 second.
Okay.
No reason. You're breaking up. I'm going to come down and let you go ahead and finish your thought. Let's see if that helps.
No, I didn't say anything. Go ahead, JC.
Oh, okay. So, I like I said, I firmly believe that there should not be a crossing with law and church in this case. But on the same token, like I said, the kid felt guilty enough to where he had to confess at least to someone what he had done. I don't think that the pastor should be forced to testify.
Mm-hmm.
However, the fact that the pastor had to have come forward in order for them to know that he knew this information.
Right.
I think that whatever he came forward with is what should be used in the case against the kid. After all, he was a minor when it happened.
Right.
So there's not a whole lot that's probably going to happen to him anyways, to begin with.
Okay. So
he'll probably end up pleading under the Alford Doctrine or something of that nature. And
explain to me the Alford Doctrine. I'm not familiar with that.
I'm almost certain as to where you don't confess to the crime. You're guilty of something, but not necessarily this crime, and it's sealed and never released to the public.
Gotcha. Okay, I gotcha. So, go ahead.
But I think that the kids should, they're both kids should actually get some counseling because they're still children. I mean, the kids are what now? 17. The other kid's 11.
Yeah, the kid's 11 now.
I mean, what do you do to them? Stick them in a prison?
I don't know.
You're 15 when you committed the crime.
Right. Well, they can't go to juvie. You know, they can choose to charge him as an adult. I don't know. I mean, at this particular point, what do you do?
Right.
How can they charge him as an adult when the crime, the supposed crime, took place at the age of 15?
Right, and he would probably serve the sentence of someone who was 15. Yeah, I mean, that's the way that I would look at it, but you know, I again, I don't know. Like I said, the law is...
You're breaking up again, Ray.
This is driving me up the wall.
Oh, it's driving everybody up the wall.
Thank you. But, Mary, what do you think?
I mean, okay, the law is the law, and you can't just go changing the law when it's convenient for you.
Okay.
Or convenient for a case or whatever. I mean, obviously, like JC said, there had to be, you know, somebody had to say something, you know, to let the priest had to, or the clergy person had to have said something already. And I don't think that they should be forced to get on stand. I don't think that the law should be changed because of the incident, you know, because of the age of these two children when this happened. Because it does open up, it opens up, you know, for the law to be changed whenever it, you know, whenever someone else deems it necessary. And you can't just do that. If you're going to change the law completely, then that's one thing.
I don't know on this one. I really can't figure this out.
I feel bad for the girl. I feel bad for the little girl. I feel horrible for her, you know. And I feel, you know, the kid, the boy must have been distraught enough. You know, he had to go and speak to someone in the church about it. But when you have religious beliefs and you've made things right with who you believe in to be God, then, you know, I mean, you can't mix the two. You just can't. You can't do that. It's the law that you can't mix the two. You can't just go changing things. As unfortunate as it is, you can't just go doing that, or you shouldn't just go doing that.
I mean, I think we all agree that this is pretty compelling because... I mean, of course we want justice for the 9-year-old girl, or who is now 11. We want justice for her. But the conditions of which she would get that justice would violate the law.
Well, is the kid not willing to say that he's guilty? Is he saying he's not guilty?
Well, she's telling him to up. You know, the lawyer
I'm
is
sorry?
Saying... I'm pretty sure his lawyer is telling him that he's, you know, he shouldn't own up to this. And,
well,
you know,
if he feels, if the kid feels as bad or as you know, disturbed as he did when he needed to go to his church and confess his sins, then he should be owning up to it.
Right. So you think it should be left to him?
I mean, you know, so you
not entirely.
You've made your peace with God. Now you need to make your peace with justice.
That'll never happen because now the circumstances have changed. He now knows that he may have to do some, be punished criminally for his crime.
But you know what?
So,
if he went...
He's going to go with what the, I'm sure what his lawyer is telling him. But the Alfred Doctrine...
Mm-hmm.
It's also known as the Alfred plea.
Mm-hmm.
It's the I'm guilty, but I didn't do it plea. Written by Supreme Court Justice Byron White on a case in North Carolina back in 1963.
Please elaborate.
What is that noise?
The Alfred Doctrine plea originated in the United States Supreme Court case North Carolina versus Alfred, 1970. Henry Alfred had been indicted on the charge of first-degree murder. Evidence in the case included testimony from witnesses that Alfred said that after the death of the victim that he had killed, they had killed the individual. Court testimony showed that Alfred and the victim argued at the victim's house. Alfred left the house, and afterwards the victim received a fatal gunshot wound when he opened the door responding to a knock. Alfred was faced with the possibility of capital punishment if convicted by trial. The death penalty was an automatic sentence in North Carolina law at the time. Mm-hmm. If two requisites in the case were satisfied, the defendant had to have pleaded not guilty, and the jury did not instead recommend a life sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Had to plead in the first degree of the murder, Alfred would have had the possibility of a life sentence but avoided the death penalty. It says that the defendant did not want to admit guilty, so Alfred pleaded to second-degree murder and said that he was doing it to avoid a death sentence if he had been sentenced, if he had been convicted of first-degree murder after attempting to contest the charge.
Right.
So, I mean, he said, I'm guilty, but I didn't do it.
Wow.
You know, and then they sealed it.
Another oxymoron.
Again, I have a cousin that's living under that same law right now in the state of Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
I have a cousin for everything.
I noticed that.
Yeah, I got a cousin for it. But, I mean, that situation was far different, very similar to yours. And the family, although the family has let it rest,
mm-hmm.
We're still very much divided over the situation.
Wow.
And it doesn't include a child.
Wow. Yeah, again, I like I said, the only reason why I'm torn is because now you're actually asking to change the law. Because if this is allowed, then what other cases where a person confesses to their clergy will then be used against them when they had always been under the impression that those confessions were privileged.
Right. It opens a whole ball of wax
that
I don't think that this country wants to open. I just can imagine people in power, politicians,
sure,
that have confessed to clergy.
Oh.
I mean, it would send this country, the legal system, to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, it would tailspin if that were to happen. It would tailspin. And
but
it
looks like it's about to.
But there's a part of me that says that I feel like there's an injustice to this because it's, of course, that child's word versus the accused in this case. And we have a natural sense in ourselves to want to find justice for this young girl. And we
right,
all
but you know what's missing? You know what's missing from the case? I mean, did her parents, they've never come forward to make the claim, to my understanding. I mean, I didn't hear anything about that.
Nor did I.
It's just basically what this pastor's saying.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that as a pastor, he's compelled to say, look, I want to protect the child in this case, which is why
child do you protect?
Yeah, exactly. And for him, he wants to protect the victim. If he hears this, and he's probably, it's probably not, he probably
yeah,
walks.
Wait a minute. Did the girl say, hey, this happened to me, or did the priest take this to the police?
Well, that isn't clear in the story, but I believe that there were rumblings about what happened to the child, and that's what caused this case to go forward. And the priest in some way came forward, that it was known that the priest had received this confession. And that's what caused sort of like this new argument. Because what they want, I'm sure what the prosecutor wants is, look, if he confessed to it, we need this pastor as a witness to get this conviction. And I can understand the motivation of the prosecution to do whatever it is that they have to do to make sure that they get that conviction, but should they change or should they challenge the law in order to get it?
Right.
And to fight it all the way to the Supreme Court, the ruling it constitutionally is going to be, this is a constitutional law. This is a landmark case. A lot of people don't look at it that way, and it hasn't been reported in that way. But, yeah, this could very much be a landmark decision. And it will change the scope of our legal system, without a doubt. Without a doubt. That's the reason why I can't stop thinking about it on, you know, what should you do? You know, I'm in no position to decide on what it is that they should do, but I can see the quagmire, if you will.
Keep the media out of it and get counseling for both kids.
Yeah. And it's sad, unfortunately, but, you know.
And hopefully you've had a winter like we've had here in Connecticut where we've had no snow. And he says, you know, the parents going to want restitution. Throw them that budget. That's no removal budget money. Shut them up.
What?
Oh, my God, JC. I can't even believe that you just said that.
Somebody wants it. I mean, somebody's going to want to get paid for this.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
These are the times that we live in.
Yes, they are. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll ask the question, what is race betrayal, and are you guilty of it? And how you can be guilty.
Oh, Lord.
When we come back.
I know someone who's guilty.
It's Reese on the Radio when we come back.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
how you
doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back on blogtalkradio.com. Now, I know James Montgomery, the Kool-Aid man, he's going to join us later on. So, I don't know whether or not I'm actually going to go into the subject of race betrayal yet. I'm going to wait. So, I think it's only right that I go into Therapy Thursday now. Because this actually stunned me when this happened to me today. So, I got to grab my cell phone.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do? Good night, everybody.
So, it's this happened to me today in a conversation with an ex-girlfriend, and the conversation ended up stemming on into, you know, when we broke up, why we broke up, how we broke up. And I said what was so damning about the whole conversation was it ended up going right into the conversation we were having earlier about Greg Kelly and his case where he was accused of rape. So in the middle of the conversation, and I jotted down some notes from the conversation, so forgive me as I go through it, because it's going to take me a while to go through some of the comments. But anyway, let me just go back and forth some of the notes that I took. So we were having this conversation, and I'm talking about how she got involved with someone else sexually. And I went on to say, look, you slept with somebody else. You had sex with somebody else, while you were with me. And, look, I cheated too. I fooled around while we were together, and I took responsibility for that. Those people that I slept with, I did that. That was something that I wanted to do. So when I was questioning my ex about that, my ex went on to say that it wasn't something that she wanted to do. She used the words, it just happened. In fact, she used those words first before I responded with, what do you mean it just happened? Nothing like that just happened. You have to decide that that's what it is that you're going to do. When I had affairs, when I screwed around, it didn't just happen. I wanted to sleep with that woman, whomever it was, and I decided that that's what it is that I wanted to do. And, here's what I said. Let me get the exact wording, because I typed this down. Anyway, nothing just happens. You wanted him, you slept with him. Take responsibility. I take responsibility for all of the affairs. I had sex with those women because I wanted to. Her response was, no, I really didn't. So my response to that was, you're crossing into Greg Kelly territory. You didn't really want to? So he forced you? No, that's not what I'm saying. Immediately backtracked. Now, I said this before, and I'll say it again. Do you see how easy it is for a woman when she is busted sleeping around? I don't want to use that. I'm using that. I shouldn't even use sleeping around. But she sleeps with somebody else, and I call that person on, and I say, hey, you're talking about how I was guilty of whatever whenever you want to. Oh, you slept with this one, or you slept with that one, or you slept with her, or you cheated on me, you broke my heart, blah, 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 blah. And then I turn around and I go, yeah, but when you're professing all of this love for me, you did it too. And then for them to respond, but it really wasn't like that. I didn't really want it to happen. I backtrack and I go, you really didn't want it to happen? Well, what are you talking about? Because when I really wanted it to happen, I made it happen. If I met somebody and I wanted to sleep with them, I made it happen. You're telling me you didn't really want it to happen. What are you saying here? Are you saying that you were forced? And do you see how easy it is? I didn't even know how to respond when it happened. When the conversation took place, I didn't know how to respond. My immediate take on that was, whoa. What are you saying about the guy that you slept with? You really didn't want it to happen. Then why did it? And as soon as I mentioned the Greg Kelly case, I went, whoa, you're fishing in Greg Kelly waters here. What are you saying? And I got to read to you what the response was. Anyway, she said, no, that's not what I'm saying. Anyhow, anything is possible. Let's talk later. I don't want to talk about it now. Immediately backed off. So, how am I supposed to respond? Because I'm not mad. I'm not angry. I'm not upset at all. It happened. I'm not jealous. I'm not beaten up about it. I'm comfortable with who it is that I am, but I was a little weirded out by somebody trying to protect their reputation with me would even suggest that they didn't want to sleep with the person that they ended up sleeping with. And this wasn't some chance sleeping with. This was somebody that they slept with often, had a relationship with, and making it sound like the entire relationship was under duress. Hey, do you guys get what it is that I'm saying here? Like, how do I respond to this? Nobody. Everybody's lost for words. JC, Mary, anybody? Ah. on, Mary, come on. You got to have something to say. You're a girl.
Well, I mean, I was trying to say something. Could you hear me?
No, no, I apologize. I cut off your mic by accident. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
No, by accident. By accident.
Okay, so, I mean, women just, I don't know, or maybe just this particular woman didn't know how to deal with her own doings or her own guilt or whatever. I mean, it is what it is. If she cheated on you, she cheated on you. How come you can say, okay, yeah, you know, I cheated on you. I did it because I chose to do it. Nobody forced me to do it. I didn't, there wasn't somebody laying in the bed and I fell down inside of them. I mean, what?
You women have a lie bug.
What?
You have a lie gene in your DNA.
Well,
a lie
I have what?
Women have a lie gene in their DNA that is totally unattached from their emotions.
You're
and when they get caught up in a situation, the first wall that goes up is, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you are stone cold busted. You know, she didn't think that I was going to respond the way that I did. For her to say that she really didn't want it to happen, and I go, whoa. Because maybe you have to understand where I come from. This is where I believe as far as sex and male versus female. A guy, if he finds a woman attractive, and he more than likely, 9 times out of 10, probably 10 times out of 10, wants to sleep with her. In some cases, he doesn't even have to be attracted to her. He just wants to have sex. Okay? But a woman is making a decision. She is, I believe, the person in the most charge of that situation. Of course, unless the guy is forcing her, and I don't want anybody to get any weird distinctions about that. Unless a guy is doing some harm to her, forcing her to do something she doesn't want to do. I'm not saying that. But if you had sex with a person, not once, not twice, but continuously in a relationship of some sort or a sexual relationship, you accepted him to be a part of that. You get my meaning. I don't want to use anything coarse here, but you are telling that man that you will receive him in the best way I can put it. For this girl to say to me, I didn't really want to, you're saying you were forced. I mean, isn't that what you're saying?
She's not. That's not what she's saying. What she's saying is, I still love you. I'm sorry I cheated on you. And can you please forgive me and give me another chance? That's what she's saying.
So by saying that, she's saying that she reluctantly gave up her body?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I would assume. I mean, what if you're not together with someone, and you know, and you're talking to your ex, why can't you just be truthful? If you know, if there's no agenda behind that, there has to be some agenda behind all of it for her to be. I don't know how long ago you and her had a relationship. Some of the information that you were saying I missed because I was having some problems with my audio. So, you know, I don't know how long ago it was or whatever the situation was, but I would say that obviously there is probably, you know, something in her that wants to say, like, no, I really, you know, it's like I didn't mean to do it, you know, I didn't, you know, it just kind of happened, you know, it wasn't intentional. So, you know, can you forgive me and whatever?
No. No.
No, please, JC, thank you. Thank you. Can you put some stank on it? Please.
She simply got caught.
There it is.
She got caught out there. And she has no response to the fact that she got caught. Her bluff was called. and she didn't carefully think it out.
Okay, but listen, if you're talking to, I can understand if like if you're still together and you get caught, you know, you may be like, oh, you know, what am I supposed to say?
No. Because even after, excuse me, Mary, even after, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but even after, she still wants to up you as I was faithful to you during a relationship.
Why
would it matter
that
now, 20 years later?
Listen, if I'm talking to an ex that I haven't been with or whatever, and I have ex boyfriends that I'm friends with, you know, and you know, I'm talking to an ex about something, I'm gonna be, you know, why would I be anything other than honest with them? Obviously, I stayed friends with them because our friendship meant something. So why would I, you know? Sometimes things just don't work out between people, and you're not meant to be. You're better off friends than you are lovers. So why would I say, oh, no, that didn't happen? When, first of all, you know damn well it happened. I know damn well it happened. So let's just get on with
it. But I caught you with the guy. Okay, yeah, here's the thing. Here's the breakdown. I caught her with the guy. Here's how I caught her with the guy. I got a hold of the guy's number.
Preach.
I called the guy up. He picked up the phone. Now, he was a real dude. You know, in the essence, he flat out told me, oh, she's right here. He told me right off the bat, oh, she's right next to me. So my reaction was, oh. And so he gave her the phone. And when she heard my voice, I said, oh. Okay, now I know you're with him. Her immediate response was, where'd you get this number from? I said, don't worry about where I got the number from. I can get anything I want. I can figure out anything I want. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm an investigative reporter. I can find out anything I want to. Of course I got his number. So
and now
So now I said, then I go, so you're with him then, right? As I suspected. And her response was, yeah, and what? What now? What now? What do you want to talk about? So she hung up the
phone.
Totally busted. And then doesn't, so I don't say anything. I leave it alone. I keep it moving. Now, busted in the whole nine yards, he knows that she was lying to him. And he's pretty much reading how the riot act. You know, you were lying to me, blah, 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 blah. But he's being a guy about it. You know, whatever. Keep it moving. You know, now you were BSing me the entire time. So she gets completely read the rails about him. But I'm on the other hand going, hey, look, I got no issues with this. You know, you did what you had to do. He explained to me why you did it. And that the bottom line was you didn't care about anybody but yourself. And you were taking care of you. I obviously wasn't around to do what it is that you needed to do, so you sought it elsewhere. All right, let's keep it moving. So in a conversation months later, you know, years later after the fact, we're having conversation about it, and then I flat out just say, hey, you're the one who stepped out with this person because, you were spending holidays with him, you know, chilling with his family. His daughter calling you mom? Like, wow. Don't now try to tell me that nothing was going on.
Well, if his daughter was calling her mom, don't try to sit here and say, oh, I didn't really want to do it.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
And you don't know that I know that? Like, and I made it clear to you that I know that. And so when I ask you about it, hey, listen, look, you're the one who chose to step out when you stepped out. I don't have any problems, be it for any reason, revenge, comeuppance, whatever it may have been. Don't come at me about how you really didn't want to. If you really didn't want to, if this was against your will, how is it against your will? And that was why I brought up the Greg Kelly thing, because was this girl actually telling me that she was forced to be with another guy? Was she kidnapped? entrapped? Like, what was going on? And then when I brought that up, she immediately disavowed any knowledge of that statement. Ah, you know what? I got a headache now. I don't really want to talk about this. I'm just, it's not a good day right now. I've got other stuff to deal with. And I backed off. I said, all right.
Or was she, or did she feel like she could say that because she felt like did she step out with this dude because you weren't around and there were things that he could do for her that she couldn't do for herself?
That's exactly.
And that you couldn't do because you weren't around. I mean, was it, what was the motivation?
I know that was the motivation. She's not willing to admit that. She knows that was the motivation. She wasn't willing to admit it. But I was accepting of it. I was accepting of it saying that, look, you got needs. I get it. We're, you know, to use the expression in the hood, you and I are cool in a gang. I'm all right with that. I mean, because in any way that, you know, it isn't about he was better than me in any way. It wasn't about that. I'm not feeling inadequate. This wasn't about me. This was about you and your decisions. If you thought something ill of me, that's fine. You could think anything ill of me. I'm not perfect. There are plenty of things you're going to feel ill of me. I'm not the perfect guy. That being said, you made that move. Hey, I made the move when I stepped out on our relationship. I could have said 1,000 things about what it was that you were doing. But the bottom line was, I wasn't getting what I needed from you. I sought it elsewhere. And it's not your fault that you didn't give that, because I could have just said, hey, let me deal. But there were things that I needed, and I went and got it. I went and took care of it. And that was selfish of me, but that's what it is that I wanted. And I take responsibility. Did it hurt you? Yes, and I take responsibility for that. Was I dishonest to you? Yes, I was. And I take full responsibility for that. Did I lie to you? Did I hurt you? Absolutely, I did all of that, and I take full responsibility. But here it is, you're doing the same thing, and all you have to do is just say, you know what, I did that, and if I hurt you, I apologize. That's all you had to say. I did that, and I apologize. Can we keep it moving? And I would have said, fine. But you so bad trying to protect your reputation, you were willing to go into the realm of saying, in essence, that this guy assaulted you.
Well, he didn't assault her. He obviously forced her into,
yeah.
Not obviously, but supposedly forced her into a relationship.
Yeah. Now you get it. Now you hear what I'm saying? She was forced into a relationship.
He held her hostage.
I mean, who are you, Elizabeth Smart? I mean, knock it off. I got to be born yesterday on a turnip truck to fall for that. But you see what I'm saying is that it's so easy for a woman. Even when she knows she's busted, she knows that she was clearly busted with the earlier statement I made when I called him up and he told me the whole deal. She was still willing to even suggest that this man forced her. Now do you get what I'm saying about the whole Greg Kelly thing? It wasn't so much about a joke as that she was so wanting to protect her reputation, even if it was with just lowly old me. She was willing to throw this man's whole reputation under the bus. Now, if I was a knucklehead, I would have said, did he force you? Did he rape you? Did he hurt you? And I'd have been a knucklehead. I'd have gone down there and handled business. You see what I'm saying? Just like Greg Kelly's accuser did when he confronted the chief of police, the commissioner of police. Now, does it all sum up now?
Oh, it's all been summed up.
I mean,
I didn't need that story to sum it up.
So, you know, I mean, that's what it is. JC, go ahead. I know you got something to say.
It's a lie gene. It's in the DNA.
Oh, my God. Here we go with the lie gene.
What's the lie gene?
Women will always lie to protect to protect their reputations, especially when it comes to matters of sluttism.
Well, you know,
I beg to differ.
I'm not going to call her a slut for having a relationship with a guy. I would call her a slut if she's sleeping with every guy in the world. Like, every time I turn around, there's a new man in the bed.
Now, any woman who steps out on their man is a slut.
Whoa. Just sleeps with one guy, the guy that she finds attractive, that she wants to be with, and she's attracted to or interested in? Just one guy? You're still going to call her a slut?
Yeah, I mean, if you're with someone, be with that individual. Why is it necessary to sleep around?
She's not sleeping around in S's, JC. She's not sleeping around in essence. She's sleeping with one guy who she feels she's attracted to. You get my meaning. She's attracted to that person. She steps out on you with one person. Like I said, if it had been she was sleeping with a slew of guys, that would be different.
And let me tell you that the reasons why women step out on their men. 9 times out of 10, women do not step out just for sexual reasons. Women step out because they are trying to secure their next relationship until they can grow the balls to end this one, the bad one that they're in.
I'm giving a number right now, guys. You go ahead and talk right now. Give me a second real quick.
I don't buy that, Mary. I really don't.
What?
I don't buy it.
Well, but most women don't step out because it's sexually motivated. Most women step out because they're looking for the next best thing, or they're looking to get into a relationship with someone else because the person that they're currently with is not fulfilling their needs, whether it be, most of the time it's not just a sexual thing.
Whoa. How is it not a sexual thing when you're having sex with them, Mary?
No. I'm not saying that you're not. But women don't step out on their men for purely sexual reasons. Most women do not do that. If you are in a relationship with a man and things are not going well,
okay,
you're thinking, you know, this thing may not last, so I need to find, you know, I'm going to find, or you meet somebody and you're like, oh my gosh, I think I like this guy better than I like the guy that I'm with.
Okay, wait. What if you find out that the woman that you're with has a very, very large libido? In other words, she wants to have sex all the time. Now, I will say this about my relationship with this particular girl. I'll be honest with you, probably my biggest issue that I've had with plenty of women is that I like sex when I like sex. I don't like it all the time. I have needs, and they can be sporadic. There could be one day that I wake up and I want to make love all day. And there could be 2 weeks where I don't want to touch anybody.
So you're selfish.
No. Again, sex is to gratify me, not the woman I'm with.
Oh, my God.
Not true.
No, but women lie about it. They lie, period.
This is exactly why she cheated on you.
Oh, okay, Mary. That might be true. She used to say all the time, and I'm going to tell you a real story. She said this to me one day when we were having an argument. She said, if you wanted to meet, I swear to you, she said this. I am not making this up. She said, if you wanted me to behave, all you had to do was take me in the bedroom and expletive me every day. Give me that, and I'd have done everything you want every day. I'm getting on your nerves. Take me in the bedroom and expletive me. You want me to behave a certain way? Take me in a bedroom and expletive me.
She wanted a bedroom bully.
Yeah, that's all she wanted. You know, I do something wrong and I upset you. Don't yell at me. Take me in a room and expletive me. Take it out on me in that way. That's what she said. Those are her words. And me, when I'm upset, the last thing I'm thinking about is expletiving you. That's the last thing I'm thinking about.
You know why?
I don't get aroused by anger. I'm not aroused in anger. I don't do that. If I'm angry, the last thing I am is aroused. I'm angry.
You've been spooching with everybody. Snuffy, Al, Leo, Little Mo with the gimpy leg, Cheeks, Bony Bob, Cliff.
Love it. But my point is that the reason why she was with this guy was because he was probably one of those guys that was, you know, you didn't cook dinner tonight, get in the bedroom. He was probably that guy.
No, it's not that wrong. If you're with somebody, you're with them.
Oh, man, I'm already going into the top of the hour. I just can't believe we got... I didn't think that this was going to run that long. I've got to go to the top of the hour.
Prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it.
Mary had a little man who was quite a soul, and everywhere that
Mary
went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
Sorry about that, guys. We are experiencing a little bit of technical difficulties here. But that's all right. We're going to be back on track. It's Reese on the Radio right here live on ReeseOnTheRadio.com. I'm over here trying to send a text message. A friend of mine is calling in to the show. And trying to make sure that I get them on the air. So we'll find out what the deal is. Again, it's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. And so, you know, we were talking, you know, it's Therapy Thursday. And I was just talking about this conversation I had with an ex. And you know, the guys, you know, they totally missed the point that I was making. Was that you see how easy it is for a girl who's caught by her boyfriend, be it ex or current, whatever it is, to immediately start suggesting that they may have been sexually assaulted just to protect their reputation. I mean, didn't you guys get that? That's the point I was trying to make. You guys did get that, right?
Now, of course, women do it all the time.
I mean, I see things differently because I'm sick, so.
Well, tell me
Listen,
why you see things differently.
A guy sleeps around. he's a fellow that gets around. He's popular. But a girl does it, I mean, and I'm sure it is a double standard. Yes, it is. But if a girl does it...
Yeah, but even if that's the case, JC, my point is that when a guy gets caught fooling around, he can never suggest that the woman assaulted him sexually.
No.
Okay? So he's got to come up with every other lie under the sun. Well, I only put a little bit in. I mean, come on.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, it didn't last very long. She was horrible in bed.
My eyes were closed.
My eyes were closed, and I was thinking of you. I was drunk.
I was thinking of you.
Yeah, the guys were making me feel like a punk if I didn't do it, and I didn't want to disappoint them. Guys come up with those excuses. Girls, their excuse is, I really wasn't into it. In fact, I didn't even want to do it. So why did you? Well, he kind of made me. Come on.
Like I do, fake a seizure.
Yeah, exactly. Guys do not know how to deal with that. In fact, let me tell you right now, ladies, here's the bottom line. If you want to get me to not be interested in you, choke on your tongue. Fake a seizure. Because anybody who's epileptic scares the crap out of me. I don't like anybody going through convulsions or has some sort of sick. I don't play that. I don't play crazy. I don't play demented. I don't play weird. If you start convulsing, I'm out the door. I'll give you.
I got my hand up.
I got a perfect story.
My hand up.
Why do you have your hand up? I'm sorry.
I have one on my couch as we speak.
Listen, let me tell you a story, JC. This story is a real story, really happened. I was working at a company called Logistics Worldwide, and I had to find a new person to work the phone. This guy, Robert, came in. He's Italian, and he was gay. But he became one of my closest friends. I love this guy, Robert. We hung out all the time. But when I interviewed him, and I found out what he did, and we did the interview process. It was the first interview I'd ever given as a supervisor. And I'll always remember it because, you know, it was pertinent. It was one of those things. It was one of those landmarks in your life. So
yeah,
Robert,
you're first.
Robert, exactly. He was my first. So Robert and I are having the interview, and I said to Robert, I said, is there anything that I should know that's important, you know, in the process with you working here? Is there any conditions or, you know, things that, you know, I should know? Do you need to work certain hours or are there, you know, whatever it was. And said, you know, just let me know. I don't remember exactly how I phrased it, but it was probably more professional than I displayed just now. Anyway, so Robert says to me in plain English, he goes, well, I do have to tell you that I am an epileptic. And I was young, I was about 26 years old, and I didn't know that much about epilepsy. I've seen people have epileptic seizures. And so he says, I have epilepsy. And I went, wow. I said, oh, okay. I said, you know what? Not a problem. I got the perfect place for you. I'm going to place you at this desk that's over by the window so that you always have air. And he looked at me and he goes, oh, that's so nice of you. And he goes, I don't think that I need it, but if you want to place me there, that's fine. I said, forgive me, it's really not for you. That window seat is really, really far from me, and if you have an epileptic seizure, I don't want you anywhere near me. Because I don't do that spoon in the mouth thing. I just don't want any parts of it.
Yeah.
I thought right off the bat. He looked at me and said, oh, that's so nice.
I deal with at least one or two a week.
You're not supposed to put a spoon in the mouth of a person that's having an epileptic seizure anyway, okay?
So So in essence, it was smart that I moved him as far away from me as possible, right?
Yeah, and he didn't need air.
Yeah, exactly. So see, I was doing a good thing because trust me, if he was near me, I swear to God, I'd put a spoon in his mouth or something. I don't know what I would have done.
The back of an Afro comb.
I wouldn't have known what to do. But again, my whole point is, as I said, look, this girl, she should have known better than to give me this bogus line that she didn't really want to. I don't even know how to respond to it. I'm almost offended.
Yeah, you should be.
Broads are just crazy. Mary, please tell me the truth. What would you do? Would you hide the fact if you cheated on your boyfriend?
Not if we're not together anymore.
No, if you're together, your boyfriend.
Now, don't take the easy route.
Now, what if he weren't your current boyfriend? Would you lie to him?
Come on.
Okay. First of all, let me say this. At this point in my life, I mean, if you want to ask me what I would have done in the past, I would have lied. But at this point in my life, at this point, now if I'm busted, I'm busted, you know? I mean, there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, but tell me, no, don't tell me what you do now. Tell me what you did. I want to tell you, I want to know what you did, what you would have done back in the days. Forget about what you do now. Yeah, we get it.
Back in the day, I would have never got caught. So, I mean, no.
Oh.
So what would you have done back in the day if you didn't?
You don't crap where you eat. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know the rules to the game. So I wouldn't have got caught. And if I would have got caught, I would have just owned up to it and been like, yeah, and? I mean, what else can you say? What?
You were cheated on, weren't you?
I was cheated on, and I cheated on other people.
You know this game all too well.
I'm going to be honest with you. Do you know that every girl I've ever been with has slept with another guy while I was with her? Every girl. Every girl.
Really?
Every girl. I can't name one girl that I was with who didn't sleep with another guy. Can't name one.
Well, what are you doing wrong, Reese?
Whoa. Why is it me? See, you would automatically have issue with that if I said that about you. As a girl, you would say that. If every guy that you had been with, they cheated on you, the first thing you would do, you would indict me for saying that about a woman. You would say, what's wrong with the girl? You would have indicted me. Why would you suggest that there's something wrong with me?
I was just kidding. Come on.
I got to ask the question. Go ahead, JC.
Can I Oprah you for one moment?
Please, go ahead.
I have to one-up you here. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Three of my exes?
Mm-hmm.
Are lesbians now.
Damn. So let me reiterate Mary's question. What's up with you?
Well, wait, what did you say? Three of your exes what?
Are now lesbians.
They were lesbians before.
No, come on. That begs your question, Mary. What's up with JC?
now it's fun for you because we're not, because it's not you that we're talking about.
Mary?
No, I'm not. Go ahead, Jay.
What? What, JC?
Never mind.
No, please
come with it. I'm ready. Come with it.
No.
Do your thing.
What does it mean when a girl cheats on a guy? If I said that every girl that I've been with, every girl that I had a relationship cheated on me. Every one of them. They slept with another guy. Why did you immediately say something was wrong with me? And be honest. Come on. Why'd you say it?
No, seriously. I mean, I just said it to be saying it.
Or something you're not doing that's sending them in the next direction.
There you go. Most people believe it.
But it's not necessarily a sexual thing. It could be other things. So you guys automatically think about sex. I think about other
things. Well, that's what they went away for.
What?
No, that's not. That's not what they went away for. I can honestly say that every woman who cheated on me, they will honestly say that, and they always use this one word, unattentive. They all use that excuse, that I didn't fulfill their needs, be it spiritual or mental or nurturing. I didn't do those things. That's the term that it was always.
Well, okay, and that validates my question to you. What is wrong with you? At some point, you need to start looking in the mirror and saying, hey, what is going on? Especially if they're not cheating on me purely on a sexual, thing. If you're not able to do that for somebody, you need to start looking at why you're not able to do that for somebody.
No. He said it earlier.
What?
On his terms.
Yeah, but obviously that's a problem.
No, it's not.
When your women are cheating on you, it's a problem. Well, you know, he said sex on his terms. We're talking about something else, JC. We're talking about fulfilling a woman in other ways other than just purely sexual. He said they didn't step out on him because of sex. They stepped out on him because he was not fulfilling them in other aspects of their life or other aspects of their needs. So he wasn't attentive enough.
If you want hugs and kisses and cuddles, you don't get a puppy.
Accolades.
You don't go get another man.
What?
Well, yeah, he's right.
If you want the attention of...
You go get a puppy. What the hell is a... What do you mean you go get a puppy?
You want someone
what
to love you unconditionally.
A puppy can't... Shut up, JC. A puppy can't tell you you're beautiful. A puppy can't tell you you did a great fucking job. Dinner tastes wonderful, babe. A puppy can't... Oh, my God, I can't believe I said this. Said that word on air. A puppy can't do that for you. What are you talking about? Go get a puppy. You go get a freaking puppy.
Oh, wait. Hold on. See, I love when Mary loses control. That's my favorite part of this show. When she loses control, I love it. Love it. What JC is saying is that if you're not getting attention and you want attention, you don't seek attention in another guy who is probably going to do the same thing.
Well, no, this is what you should do. If you're in a relationship with somebody, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying it is what it is. What you should do if you're not fully fulfilled, or at least 90% fulfilled in the relationship that you're in, you should sit that person down, tell them what is going on, because maybe they have no clue. They could just be totally clueless. They could be so self-absorbed.
Did you say
90%? What?
You said 90%?
Yeah. I mean, you should be able to fulfill your partner's needs 90% of the time.
Ooh, 90%?
So you're not willing to compromise? You're only willing to compromise 10%? No. You deserve to get left for that.
You're compromising 90%. What are you talking about? You're compromising 90%. If you're fulfilling their needs 90% of the time, you're compromising most of that. Most of that time is spent compromising.
I've never given a woman 90% of my time.
No.
I've never given... No. I mean, I'll be honest.
Maybe you guys are, like, just completely not understanding what I'm saying.
Okay, no, please. You articulate it as best you can, young lady. Please.
Thanks a lot, Reese. I appreciate that. You are
Look,
so
you said,
funny.
You
this
said,
exactly why
what
did they
that women
on
say?
Did you hear
you
what she said?
You represented your species well.
She said that's exactly why your girls cheated on you.
Because no one else may have got what you just said, but believe me, I did. So, if Look, you've got me all off track.
She's flustered, JC.
If you're unhappy in the relationship and you feel like you need to step out to seek whatever it is that you're missing in that relationship, you should sit down and communicate with your partner prior to stepping out. That is the correct and proper thing to do. You sit down, communicate with them, hey, you know what? You're not doing this for me, and I need this. I need this to, you know, to sustain myself or whatever. I need for you to give me this. And let me know what I'm not doing, you know, how I can help make this relationship better, because obviously there's a break somewhere here, right? Because I feel like maybe I need to go elsewhere. Well, you probably shouldn't say that, because then your relationship will probably be over if you're trying to fix it. But, you know, you have to sit down and communicate. If you don't, nobody's a mind reader. You don't, you know, when you get into a relationship with somebody, you don't know what it is that they like if you don't talk about it, or what it is they dislike if you don't talk about it. So you sit down and communicate with one another. When you have problems, you sit down and you talk to one another, and you air that stuff out. Now, if after you have spoken about it and you've aired it out, you both decide that this is obviously not going to work out, then you should separate and then go on, you know, go on your way. You really shouldn't be just stepping out to step out.
Quick question, Reese.
Go for it.
The majority of your relationships, were the courtships swift?
Were they swift?
Yeah.
Were their courtships? Were the courtships swift?
Were they swift? For the most part?
Wow. I can't say that about most. I will go into, let me see. Okay, so wife.
I'm meaning from the time you met her to the time you met her.
Okay. What would be considered swift?
You know what, swift. You're 42 years old, damn it. Don't
two to three
ask
weeks.
What swift.
What's that?
2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, that's swift? Yeah. Okay, sure. Most of them were. Yeah.
Okay, well, you know what? That explains it. It's all her fault. You were clearly after one thing. And if she wanted a relationship, then she should have taken the time to get to know you, to know that you are what it is that she wanted, before she took the nickel that her mom placed between her knees and told her to hold on to.
Hold on a minute, JC. Let me tell you something. If I feel like I want to get to know somebody to the point where I am like, we're seeing each other, and I think that, you know, oh, maybe I want to take this further, I need to test the waters, because if we get too far deep in and you can't get too far deep in, there's going to be a problem.
Very selfish.
If I figure that out later on,
very
I mean,
selfish. I figured out. You're selfish.
What?
That's your problem. You're selfish. You're just like a man.
I'm selfish? How am I selfish?
Mary, you're just like a man. You sounded just like a man just then.
She sure did.
What? Wow. Yeah, exactly. That would be a problem.
What I believe, honest to God, what I think would really, really hurt every one of my relationships was that most of the people that I was involved with, I was very career and personally motivated, and I've never been the type of person who's, you know, maybe it's true, maybe I wasn't attentive, maybe I wasn't paying attention to her needs. I completely attest to that. I'm willing to completely concede that. That being said,
amen.
But that being said, that I don't need a woman to talk to me. If a woman tells me I need you to be more of this and more of that, and I need you to do this, as a man, the first thing I respond to when I hear that, my response is, you're trying to change me. You don't accept me as I am. And the woman doesn't know how to respond to that when a guy throws it back in her face.
Exactly.
Because a woman only wants her man to accept her how she is. They can never accept a man on out because a man is supposed to change in their eyes. Women don't change. They just
change.
And you're
forgetting a key element here.
Go for it.
You're looking for me. Explain as to, that tells me a whole lot as to why you're single now.
That's why
you're single, looking for a man.
See, a woman can change any day. A woman doesn't change. She just changes her mind. That's the difference between men and women.
What did you call them at one point? What was that? What was that term? I loved it. What was that term?
A succubus.
Oh yes, that's it.
That's what women are. They are a succubuses.
I call them big bus.
A succubus.
A woman is a succubus. Yeah. All she is there to do is to drain the life out of the man, to drain every essence of his being out of him, to change him, to mold him, to make him to be their perfect being. It's an extension of women giving birth. See, if a woman gives birth to a child, she knows that control. I gave birth to you. I birthed you. I created you. The woman is so caught up in that creation that she has to create everything around her, especially her man. She must create this false image of him. And that's why men turn into who it is that they are today. Wimps, punks, suckers. That's what it is that they turn into. Because a woman is destined to make him change.
So why don't men just stay amongst men and stay out of women's lives?
Never going to happen.
If that's the situation.
Never going to happen. We love you too much.
Mm-hmm.
We need you way too much for that. That is never, ever, ever going to
happen. I cannot believe that you just sat here and said that women are nothing but a succubus, and we suck you all dry.
A succubus. That's what they are.
Succubus.
A succubus.
We need you to straighten out the flatware in the flatware drawer.
What?
We need you to straighten out the flatware in the flatware drawer. Forks go here. Knives go here.
No, Bree, don't you dare go to break.
Folks, we'll be back. Reese on the radio.
We'll be back.
Robin, help me.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
And welcome back to Reese on the Radio, right here live on ReeseOnTheRadio.com and BlogTalkRadio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. Yeah, I didn't know if Therapy Thursday, usually Therapy Thursday always, for me, it is therapeutic, trust me. But sometimes it has a life of its own. That's the reason why I fashioned it that way. I'm not saying that my life is more compelling than anybody else's, but... pretty conversation worthy. It's usually pretty conversation worthy. So, last half hour of the show, and I wanted to talk about this because I thought that this particular story baffled the crap out of me. The story came out in the American Standard back in October, and it had more to do with Herman Cain. But there's a new term that's sort of come into the lexicon that's called race betrayal. And my question is are you guilty of it? Now, this has nothing to do with just minorities. Now, race betrayal can happen no matter what race you are. Because there is what we call a stereotypical standard. And I call that, that's my term. No one else is using that term. There's somebody else using that term, you tell them where they got it from. It's Reese on the Radio. It's called a stereotypical norm. If you're a certain race, you adhere to certain stereotypical standards. That's who it is that you are. Sorry, but that's the way that it is. I didn't create it. This is the way it is. Now, truth be told, whites are the only ones that have a litany of stereotypical norms, unless you fall into certain class categories. If you're white trash, yeah, I use that. If you're white trash, or a redneck, as they call them, in some other groups, or the blue bloods, the elitists, they all have stereotypical norms. So whites, because there are over 211 million of them in this country, they get to vary. You know, so nobody really talks about their stereotypical norms, because they get to be whatever it is that they want to be. You'd be white trash, you'd be a redneck, you'd be a hillbilly. You know, you could be a Christian extremist. You could be a separatist, be a radical. You could be a Klansman. You could be everything. But there are stereotypical norms within minorities. Asians, you have to adhere to a certain ideology, but not often, because they're so small. So we don't know where their ideologies fall often. But if you're Latino, and of course if you're African American, you have to fall into those categories, those stereotypical norms. And now the term, when you step out of those norms, they're using this term race betrayal. And the question is, are you guilty of it? If you think differently from these stereotypical norms, are you betraying your race? Now, everybody knows that, according to the term, I'm the Benedict Arnold of the black community. I know I am. I am the Benedict Arnold of the African-American community. I am a turncoat, a betrayer. And I don't care. But why is this term being used now? Why is it becoming so much a part of the lexicon today? Why are there so many groups trying to keep you in line? I just want to know whether or not we're guilty of betrayal. Or are we just individuals? Are we really betraying something, or are we just being a man or a woman with our own ideals, with our own ideology, with our own beliefs, our own thought process? Are we independent thinkers, critical thinkers? And why are they using the term race betrayal? That's what I want to know. And so I want to go to Mary first. Mary, do you betray your race based on the criteria I just set?
No, I am just who I am. But there are people that have said to me that I was betraying my race.
Really?
Oh, definitely.
Please, please, give me more, give me more, give me more.
I mean, you know, we all know that, you know, it's been known, I've said it, you know, on the radio 100 times, you know, that what is the word that I want to use?
You like the black man.
That I prefer to be with a black man, yes. So I've had, you know, people either, you know, I have family in South Carolina and in the South, they just, you know, they don't deal with that very well. Or at least, you know, my father's side of the family doesn't deal with that very well.
Right. So you're betraying.
You know,
go ahead.
I've had coworkers say to me, "Oh, you only date black guys." Like, you know, I mean, so I've had people, and that's been all my life. That's been, you know, since I was a kid. And people always tell me, "Oh, well, you know, why do you listen to this kind of music, or how come you don't listen?" It's all, you know, stereotypical stuff.
Right. Do you think you're betraying your? Let's give your father. Let's give your father and some of his family members. Let's give them a little bit of. Let's give them a little more credence than we normally would. Do you think there's any validity in what he's saying by betraying your race? Do you feel that? Do you sense that in any way? Do you feel in some ways that you're not like them?
Oh, I'm not like them at all.
So do you feel?
But I don't feel that there's validity in the fact that they feel like I'm like betraying my race. I am just who I am. Those are my preferences. I don't have those preferences because I'm like, oh, well, you know, I hate the white man.
Mm.
That's not why. It's just because that's what I am attracted to. That's what I'm physically attracted to. And that's probably part of my – that could probably play a part in my upbringing. I was not raised – in and around a bunch of white people. That's just not. And quite frankly, no, I mean, I don't know. And I'm not used to that, you know. So, like, for me to date a white man, now I've tried.
Oh, have
I've attempted. Yeah, oh, I've tried. And it just isn't, it's just not, it doesn't feel right.
Ooh. Wow.
I'm not comfortable. When I did try, I found myself being very uncomfortable. You know, from a sexual aspect, it was very odd.
Wow.
You know, I just don't. There's like really not. No, I unless they have like a major spray tan.
Wow. Okay.
And this is going to sound very stereotypical as well, but I don't have a lot in common with the average white person. I just don't. We don't like the same music. We weren't brought up the same way. We don't have the same values.
Whoa. Really? See, I'm stunned that you actually get along with me. Because I'm always considered the whitest man in the group. White men tell me that I'm too white.
That's a lot.
It doesn't matter if that's how people perceive you, Reese. You are still black.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. I know that I'm black. Come on.
That's right. Coming from Tina Marie.
And you and I were raised in similar neighborhoods.
Yeah, but my ideology is not.
You and I came up in the same, you know, came up really almost in the same era. So there are things that, now there are some things that you say and do or music that you listen to that I'm just baffled by. I'm just like, okay, whatever. But that's who you are, and that's fine. I accept people for who they are. You know what I mean?
Does that mean that you had a problem with me playing Tom Petty yesterday?
No, that was actually a really good song. I probably have never heard it, but I listened to the words, and I think that it was very fitting for, you know, for your situation or, you know, what's happening with
Right. No, I understand.
I can appreciate. Now, don't get me wrong. If someone introduces me, I'm not like, oh, well, I'm not going to, that's not me and that's not who I am. You know, I'm not going to try something or I'm not going to give something a chance because I will.
I got you. All right. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Of course, I had to bring in our resident Kool-Aid man.
Oh, yeah.
Into the fold. James Montgomery is in the house. Come on, Jamie. Are you are you betraying your race?
Oh, no. No. Hell no. Oh, no. I don't consider it as betraying my race because even though I am proud of the racial set that I happen to look like, I consider myself only a part of only one race and one race only, and that's the human race. So
but
that,
James,
that is no race betrayal.
Good point, Jamie.
But
good
James,
point.
but James, you make a lot of comments that are based upon racial, you know, racial insensitivity or racial
mm-hmm.
politics. You involve
mm-hmm.
yourself or ingratiate yourself with a lot of that. So
he took the easy way out.
Yeah, he sure enough did.
No, I'm not saying that. It's not the easy way out. Even though I consider myself part of just the human race, there are other subsets of that human race, of which I am part of, and of which that I happen to be proud of. I like my black culture. So, yes, people can call me a racist because I'm proud of my race. The black race, I am proud of. I'm proud of the human race. But I'm especially proud of the race that I am a member of.
Okay, let me ask you
Jamie, I'm sorry, Reese, let me ask him a quick question. So you don't see that the human race supersedes any other race?
I see it as when it comes to isms is where I draw my line. Okay, when you're doing it or when you're proud of your race to the exclusion of all others, then you've crossed that line. I can be proud of my race without saying that mine is the only one that should have pride taken in it.
Okay. All right. No. And I get your point. Go ahead.
Your race is the only race that should have pride taken in it?
No, he said not.
Oh, okay.
No, he said not. But, James, you said that you believe that yourself is being a part of the human race, but
mm-hmm.
Isn't it true that in some ways you segregate yourself from that when you use the term black or blackness?
Well, yes. Obviously, I am, for lack of a better term, black. Even though I'm not actually black, but
do you think blacks are different from white?
I believe they're not necessarily, not always.
Okay, wait. Not always. So talk to me about the times when they are.
Okay. Let's see the African American. All right, there is a culture here. There is a way of purporting yourself. There's a way of dressing. There's a way of there's a code, if you will.
Ooh, I like that. Come on, tell me about the code.
New York. As soon as he said it, I was like, oh, shoot.
Please, tell me about the code. Yeah,
you
go should on.
Have started talking about this way earlier because it's 9:48.
Oh, tell me about the code.
Well, I mean, you know, there's just a certain way of doing things, a way of carrying yourself. I'm just being honest here.
Can I jump in
real quick?
Please.
Jamie, do you think that code is based on the fact that you are black, or do you think that code is based on the way you were the environment that you were raised in?
Yes.
Because I feel like in ways I would share a similar code.
Sure.
With certain ethnicities,
sure.
because I was brought up in
right.
a predominantly particular ethnic group,
right?
Even
black or Latino,
I am not
black. Right, blacks or Latinos, yes. But please tell me more about the code. The reason why I asked you about the code.
Obviously, you didn't get it. Reef didn't get the code.
No. I didn't. I don't know. The reason why I asked you about the code.
He got it. He just outwardly pushed it away.
No,
I don't think you got it.
Actually, what I did with the black code was I treated it like the guys from Mission Impossible had been caught during their mission, and the government disavowed
it.
Jamie?
Once again. Yeah.
If you remember, Mariah Carey put them on blast for choking his sneakers, and that's not a part of the code.
Let me ask this question. James, let me ask this question. Do you believe, and this is probably the best question to ask, and I want you to explain this. We got 10 minutes before the end of the show, so we have a little bit of time. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. So I'm going to ask you, do you believe that in America, that African Americans live in a different world from their counterparts?
And yes.
Wow, that was quick. I thought you'd have to think about that for a little while. So tell me the two worlds that they live in. Why are there two separate worlds? Why is there an African-American world from the white American world? What are these differences?
The difference is how we're perceived, how we're looked at.
No. Forget about that part. We're talking about the plight of African-Americans versus white Americans and the world that they live in, their needs, their wants, their desires. How are these different?
Okay. Well,
because you're talking about where African Americans take their position based upon what you were about to say, how they're perceived. They take certain positions. What I'm asking is the world that they live in, how they take on everyday tasks. How is that different from white America?
Oh, well, in that aspect, it's there really isn't. It's just the way you go about doing it.
Please let me know. Enlighten this brother.
Well, black people, my culture in general, has a way of going about their lives, and it's almost with a fluidity. It's not so much where... you have to be indoctrinated or machine-like in your societal actions. You are given the chance to express yourself. Actually, if you really wanted to go through it, or at least in my opinion, it's more like lyrical or musical. We have a way of flowing that is not so rigid as other people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a definite cadence to our accents, our speech, our manner of doing things.
Okay. If I may, can you hold on for a second for me? Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. I'm going to break something down for you real, real simple. Okay. James, how do you, if I told you that abortion was created in this country, and it is a fact, if you found out that abortion was created in this country to eradicate blacks and Latinos through the Planned Parenthood movement from a woman who was a Hitler sympathizer and believed in eugenics, which is that the white man is superior, you would be against that. Is that fair to say?
Fair. Mm-hmm.
All right. Number two. As an African-American male, do you believe that the African-American community is accepting of homosexuality?
No.
Thank you. That's two. Three, do you believe that you should profit from the fruits of your labor?
Well, of course.
Four, do you believe that under the Constitution that you are a free man who deserves the right and privileges to pursue happiness and to take care of your own?
All right, where are we going with this?
Just answer the question, James.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know we were in the court.
Sorry. Please answer the question.
Okay, Captain Kangaroo.
Wow.
It's just yes or no.
All right, counselor. What was the question? Can you repeat the question, please?
Do you believe that under the Constitution that you should be allowed to take care of your family and have and be protected by the Constitution of the United States? Yes or no?
Yes, that's the way it was written.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Kool-Aid Man has just admitted that he's a Republican. How the hell That is the fundamentals. That is the fundamentals of the Republican Party. Did you know that? Every one of those doctrines that I just laid out. No, not as written. That is what a conservative believes in. That is what a conservative believes in. You just adhered to exactly the principles of the conservative party. You believe in everything the conservative party fights for.
Can I get my 2 minutes now?
You know what?
I'm
going to give you 5 minutes.
I spent 2 minutes answering
his question.
We don't have
5 minutes.
Yes, we do. We got 4 minutes. 3 minutes at best. Go off for it.
I only need two. And for us, I don't even think I'm going to need all that.
Okay.
All right. Here it is. The Republicans may say that it's all-inclusive. And their party is all inclusive, and you're just as long as you adhere to certain guidelines, then anyone can. However, in practice, it is more often than not anything but.
Oh, you're not going to be able to prove that in 2 minutes.
Well, not on that. There are no guidelines to adhere to. It's their beliefs.
Yes, that's what conservatism is. You just completely answered every question that I asked about the conservative principles, and you said yes to them. You are
James Gingrich.
James Gingrich. That's who it is.
Mary Romney.
Okay.
Mary Romney.
Mary Romney.
You automatically.
All I'm saying is, they say these certain things are to be for everyone, or that's how it should be. However, there are laws passed. There are things that are done in their doctrines that exclude people. So you contradict yourselves as well.
James, it's called the Grand Old Party for a reason. It's the party of inclusion. That is the mantra of the Republican Party. I have a new song for you. I have a new song for you. It's a new song. I just made it up just now. Jamie is a Republican. Jamie is a Republican.
Jamie.
Hey,
James.
Yeah.
Don't buy into that because by and large, all blacks are Republicans. We're the most conservative group in the country.
Thank you.
Race in the country.
You're the most conservative race in the country, and you answered every question.
Wait a minute. I will concede to a certain aspect of that. I can see that. However,
he just don't want that name.
you just.
However, no, it's not
Democrat
even the name. It's not even the name. And if it's it's not even the name. It's more often than not, it's the policies that the conservatives set. Usually benefit their subset more than us. If it's supposed to be all-inclusive, why are we not included?
Yeah, and I know why you're not included.
I know he used to do nice stuff for you, but what has he done for you lately?
We gotta go. This is on the radio. We'll be back tomorrow. It'll be Friday. We're at the end of the week. It's a reclub. So
see you tomorrow, guys.
Bye, gentlemen.